Hi, I'm Alex.
And I'm Tom. And on this episode of Flash in the Pan, happy birthday to us. It's our 1 year anniversary.
Hooray!
We grew up in a world of online animation. And we're digging you out for your consideration. Bringing you the tunes that made us who we are. Flash in the Pan.
Hi, and welcome to another fantabulous, splendiferous edition of Flash in the Pan.
Welcome back
to everybody's favourite podcast about Flash animation that I know of.
If it isn't, then I want to know what other animation podcasts are there and how do we destroy them?
I was going to say
Flash animation.
And how much will they pay us to stop? Because...
has to be in excess of at least £50,000.
You're just saying that because I have an in excess CD on my desk in front of you.
No, actually.
Oh, okay.
I mean, maybe.
In excess.
It's possible.
In excess were just good.
They were.
Oh, Suicide Blonde is an absolute
it
banger.
Is. Yeah.
And speaking of the past, we talk about old animation stuff. And specifically this time, since it is our 1 year anniversary, or thereabouts, I think we're like a week off.
Yeah.
But we are going to be looking back at a couple of sequels to cartoons that we covered way back when.
Ooh.
I know.
Ah.
But the first thing I'm going to do is, plug the website, because that's where you can find all these old episodes at flashinthepancast.com. We find old episodes, links to the cartoons we talk about, and all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
However, before we get going, I've devised...
Oh, no.
I have devised... I warned you I'd do it.
Oh, yeah.
I have devised a special Flash in the Pan anniversary quiz.
Oh.
Cue thunderclap.
Yeah, okay. I can probably edit that in. Yes, I can definitely edit that
in. Okay, please don't edit in you answering correctly.
Okay, I definitely won't do that.
Just cutting you off for the past there before you decide to fool the world into thinking that you're the best at quizzes. Although, you might do quite well.
Maybe.
So, I am going to ask you to look away from the screen, because that's why I have the questions written down.
Alright, I'll look at the screen. So I have to look this way the whole time?
Well, no, I was going to say close your eyes so people can still hear you in the microphone.
Okay, that's a better idea, actually.
So, I have... 11 questions based on our first 11 episodes of the show.
Oh, okay. So did you go back and listen to all the first 11 episodes?
I didn't go back and listen, but I went back and rewatched some of the old cartoons. And all of those questions will be about some of the first cartoons we covered.
Oh, okay, right, okay.
Are you prepared?
No, but okay.
do you want some time to come up with like a cool team name?
No. It's just me.
Yeah, that doesn't mean you can't have a cool team name.
Gender Troubles.
Gender Troubles, okay.
Fine.
Cool. You're going to be on Only Connect against the philatelists or something.
Okay. Like 5 people understand that joke.
Okay, here we go. Imagine like a bed of tense music underneath this.
Okay.
Okay.
So the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire music.
Oh, even tenser.
Oh. Jesus.
Like the catchphrase music now.
Say what you see.
Say what you see. Anyway, question one.
Okay.
So this is about episode one.
Uh-huh.
Episode one, entitled The Ultimate
Ring.
The
Ultimate Ring, yeah, that was it. Yeah.
We talked about the ultimate showdown of Ultimate Destiny.
We did.
Which of the following characters does not appear in the Ultimate Showdown of Ultimate Destiny?
Okay.
A, Shaquille O'Neal.
Mm-hmm.
B, Sonic the Hedgehog. C, Leon S. Kennedy. D, Benito Mussolini.
I think it's Leon Kennedy.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
You are correct!
Hey.
You have 1 point.
Yeah.
Keep track of your own points, because I forgot where I put my notebook.
Okay.
Episode 2, entitled Everyone Else Has Had More Glumps Than Me.
Oh, God.
I know, right? Way back in the day. That was our Valentine's special
last
year.
Yeah.
And, speaking of Valentine's, the song, Everyone Else Has Had More Sex Than Me.
Yeah.
You know, the animation with the cute rabbits with the numbers. So that's by the band TISM.
Yep.
T-I-S-M.
Yeah.
What does T-I-S-M stand for?
This is serious, Mum.
Is correct.
Yeah.
Nicely done. Number three, which I believe was our first episode to include the wonderful theme tune that we made together.
Yeah.
And that was entitled OMFGROLFDAGOW.
Yeah.
In the Decline of Video Gaming's version of Metal Gear Solid 5, name any three of the items that Old Snake has in his in his inventory.
Oh, no.
There are seven of them. And
oh, fuck.
I'll give you the point if you can get three.
Okay. Does he have, like, a... has he got, like, a Zimmer frame? Like,
that's
a
one.
Walker?
That's one, a Zimmer frame.
Shit. I don't know if I'm making this more gross than it actually was. Did he have a colostomy bag?
He did not have a colostomy
okay.
bag, no.
Fuck. Yeah. Oh, I were any of them were any of them a gun? Did he have a gun at all? Did he have a gun?
I don't believe so. I don't remember. I was mostly looking
it's
at the funny old people things.
Solid Snake, you must have had a gun.
Okay, I'll give you a gun.
Okay.
I'll give you a gun. I haven't got it written down, but it stands to reason.
Yeah. I don't know, like, some kind of pills. Like vitamins or some multivitamins.
I'm afraid... I won't accept that.
God,
I'm sorry. He did have some mint humbugs.
Ah, shit.
A Zimmer frame, which you were right about. A blanket.
Oh, a blanket.
Slippers, a pipe, a bandana.
And, oh, fuck, of course.
And something just called stealth.
Which looks
like a lightsaber handle.
I forgot about that.
Okay, so that's two out of three you got right.
Yeah,
so far.
That's not bad.
Okay.
That was really hard.
I did say some of these would be quite tricky.
Yeah, okay.
Episode 4 was entitled Hilarious, Albeit Sacrilegious.
Yeah, I remember that.
Do you remember anything about Orphanhouse?
Joe's here.
Joe is here, but in Orphanhouse 2... Which obscure cartoon character tries selling Joe homeowner's insurance? Who tries selling Joe homeowner's insurance?
Is it the Pincushion Man?
Let me give you the options.
Okay.
Is it A, the Pincushion Man?
Mm-hmm.
B, Crazy Cat?
Uh-huh.
C, Farmer Alfalfa? Or D, the Wunsler?
It wasn't the fucking Wunsler. It was the Pincushion Man.
It was the Pincushion Man, appearing in incredibly low-res pixels.
Yes, I remember that.
And driving a car made of Lego, I think? Okay. You're doing quite well. You're 3 out of 4.
Yeah.
I haven't decided on a prize. I can get you a Coke.
That would be nice.
Okay, cool. If you win, if you get, say, 8 out of 11, I'll get you a Coke.
I forgot to bring my drink.
Oh.
I've left it in my room.
Okay.
So I'm gonna go get it after this.
Okay. Right, episode 5 was Oh Man, This Was Funny When We Were 12.
Yeah.
And we watched the illustrious Demented Cartoon Movie.
We did, yes.
Do you remember what the bombs in the Demented Cartoon Movie say before exploding?
Ziggy Boogie Duke.
Is correct,
yeah.
Yes. You're doing well. You're doing very well. Episode 6 was our first episode with the guests. We had Dracolon, and we had a good time. We watched Clytie of Brackenwood.
Yeah.
We also watched Super Mario Bros. Z.
Yes.
At the very beginning of Super Mario Bros. Z, who finds the blue Chaos Emerald?
Wait, which one?
The original.
Original.
Yes. Who finds the blue Chaos Emerald?
Oh, shit. Shit, I actually don't remember. This one should have been multiple choice, because there are a lot of characters in that one.
There are, but it's a very memorable scene, at least for me. I can do you multiple choice if you want.
Yeah, go on.
Okay. Is it A, a Koopa Troopa?
Okay, no.
B, a Goomba?
Mm-hmm.
Or C, a Shy Guy?
Wait, was it really one of those?
It was one of those three.
I'm going to say it's a Koopa Trooper.
It was a Goomba.
Oh, really?
Getting their shit wrecked by Metal Sonic.
Oh, I'm so mad at myself.
Hey, you still got 4 out of 6.
Yeah.
You know? That's two-thirds right so far. You're doing well. Episode 7. Voldemort wobbling back and forth.
Yeah.
I'm very happy that we got that as the title.
It was good.
In hindsight, that was a good choice. And of course, the question's going to be about Potter Puppet Pals. This is an easy one. I'll be surprised if you don't get this one. What spell does Snape use on Harry and Ron?
Avada Kedavra.
Avada Kedavra is correct.
Just kills them.
Episode 8 was for my birthday. And because it was my birthday, we made two whole episodes about Perfect Kirby.
We did, yeah.
And you know, that spy thriller series.
Yeah,
So, surely you remember one of the big plot points from Perfect Kirby 3. What is the name of the gene, the special gene, that George W. Bush carries?
Like the hippin' flippin' gene.
You're very close.
That's not it.
You're very close. I can give you half a point for that.
Okay.
It is the hippin' jippin' gene. Hippin' gene.
That's the one.
Okay, so you've got 4.5.
Okay. How many? Wait.
No, you have 5.5.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say, I think I have 5.5.
If I don't get this wrong on the chase. Okay, we're on the home stretch.
Okay.
Question 9, about episode 9, entitled I've Got Your Nose, Mr. Anderson, and I'm going to keep it.
Yeah.
In the Chateau fight in The Matrix, The Matrix Has You, Neo is attacked with 3 inflatable items. Name 2 of the 3.
Are they, like, really specific to things the Super Flash Brothers did before, or...?
No, they're just used for gags.
Okay, is one of them, like, a really big duck?
A really big...
An inflatable duck?
No.
No? Oh, is one of them, like, a strawberry clock?
No.
No? Fuck. I could have sworn... It must have been a different thing. Or maybe it's in there somewhere, but, like, elsewhere.
Tell me one.
For some reason, my brain's like a carrot, but I don't think that's right. Is that right?
The carrot's not right, but you could try and follow that train of thought.
A corn. fucking eggplant.
You're very close.
With eggplant.
Well, you're closer than corn.
Okay, so it's like a long vegetable, but it's not corn.
I didn't say vegetable.
Okay, so it's like a... It's something you can eat.
Yes.
Right. But it's not a vegetable.
That's true.
Right, so it's not a vegetable.
Yes.
But it's something that you can eat.
That's correct.
I don't know, it's like a burger or something?
An inflatable burger.
Yeah. It's the Burger King's crown.
You know what, throw
it at him.
I'm going to say you're out of time.
Oh, fuck.
He gets attacked with a volleyball.
Yeah.
Which he gets pegged in the nuts with.
That should have fallen.
He gets attacked by a very squeaky red balloon. And, as in the thumbnail for the episode, he gets attacked with a giant inflatable banana.
Oh, of course. Actually, why did I think of volleyball? Like, that's something that inflates. And of course, the scene where they squeak the balloon in front of him, he's like,
Yeah, it's one weakness. Okay, question 10. Episode 10 was, My Name is Cloud, I Have a Phone.
Yeah.
Because we looked at the Cloud song. The Cloud song was lovely, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You remember the Cloud song?
I remember the Cloud song.
So you obviously remember, why will he defeat Sephiroth?
Because he's not David Lee Roth.
Because he's not David Lee Roth is completely correct.
Yeah.
So how many points have you got?
6.5.
6.5. Ooh, which means you might... That means you're going to just miss out on the 8 points out of 11. But you can still bring it back. Because I am arbitrarily deciding that this final question... will earn you 2 points if you get it right.
Okay.
So that Coke is still on the table.
Okay. No, it's not.
That Coke is still up for grabs.
Okay.
Episode 11, we had our friend HT from Toontown Public Works on.
Yeah, we did, yeah.
We called the episode The Cool S of Our Generation. It was our Homestar Runner special.
Yeah.
In the Homestar Runner cartoon, looking at a thing in a bag.
Yeah.
What does Strong Bad say to Homestar happened to the thing in the bag?
Oh. I do not remember at all.
Have a guess. Put yourself in the mind of Strong Bad.
Okay, let me just go get my boxing gloves.
Okay.
Whoa,
nice gloves.
Crapfully. did he say, like, the cheat ate it?
I'm afraid that's incorrect.
But
he said, and I quote, "It escaped into the mountains."
Oh, see, I was going to say, like, he said, so I was thinking he said something like, it just got up, but got out and ran away, which is close.
And yeah, it escaped into the mountains.
Damn it.
Oh, I'm afraid that for our first annual anniversary quiz for Flash in the Pan, your final score is going to be 6.5 out of 11, which is a solid slightly better than half.
That's a pass grade.
That's a pass, yeah. I'd say that's a C.
Yeah.
And I think you did remarkably well, given that I sprung this on you with no preparation.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you
yay,
a little round of applause.
I thought you were actually going to make it about, like, things that happened, like, not in the Flash cartoons.
About the podcast itself.
Yeah, about the podcast itself.
Well, thank you for letting me segue into... Hey, fans. Hey, listeners. Since this is the anniversary episode, I'm going to do the listener prompt a little bit early this time. Not only are we going to ask you folks to write into us at flashinthepancast@gmail.com and tell us about any of your favourite moments from the last year of the podcast or any of your favourite cartoons that we've covered,
yeah.
But specifically, if you have any more trivia questions about the podcast itself for me to bamboozle Alice with, then please get in touch. Send me the questions, and I will torment her brain with them.
I wasn't really tormented. It was fun.
And I will torment her brain with them.
It was fun. I
in
had
a fun.
Fun
way. A fun
okay.
torment.
All right.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, so that was a nice way to kill 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope you enjoyed yourself. I certainly enjoyed myself.
That was good.
Yes.
My memory is better than I think it is.
No, it really is, yeah. I'm surprised you got the pincushion man immediately.
Yeah, it was just because it was so obscure.
Yes.
It just sticks out really badly.
Fair enough. So yeah, I think after that lovely dalliance, we said that we would be doing a couple of sequels this episode. And the first sequel we've got lined up is a sequel to something that we covered way back in episode 2. In episode 2, we looked at the first cartoon of There She Is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The beautiful Korean love story about a cat and a rabbit. And this time, we're going to look at step 2, which is entitled Cake Dance. Here we go.
Aww.
It's very sweet.
It's so good. It's very good.
Yeah?
It's incredible. Yeah.
Tell us more of your thoughts.
It's the animation has stepped up a notch from the last one.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredibly well choreographed. It's really it's adorable. It's just very good.
It is absolutely charming.
And the music's great.
The song by Bulldog Mansion is, like, I have it on my iPod. It's great.
Yeah.
It's catchy. It's got some sweet guitars in the bridge section.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. The animation is definitely stepped up. And I think it conveys more of a mood and a little more world building.
Yeah.
Because in the first one, you get your sort of general forbidden love, you know, like, but Bunny and Cat, no, don't kiss. You have segregated vending machines.
Yeah.
In this one, at least socially, there's a lot less segregation.
Yeah.
You know, like the cat girls, the cat girl? I'm sorry. The bunny girls party is attended by people of all species, or at least both species available for sentient creatures.
There has been progress made in the world.
There
is less discrimination.
At least, yeah.
As it seems.
As it seems.
Yeah.
And the plot concerns are Rabbit Guy trying to get a birthday cake to his beloved for a wonderful birthday party, which already includes many cakes.
Yeah.
So clearly she's either beloved or incredibly spoiled.
Or both.
Yeah, it kind of gave me some MTV Sweet 16 vibes. Also, it really made me want carrot cake a lot. Because I haven't had a good carrot cake in a while. And that carrot cake, as most cartoon food does, it looked very aesthetically pleasing and very good.
Even though it was mostly, like, just white. Like, there was not that much detail to the
carrot cake. It was mostly just icing. But honestly, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Icing is good.
Icing's great.
Hi, this is Tom from Flash of the Pan telling you, icing is good.
But, like, it should only be secondary to, like, a really solid base.
A good, juicy carrot sponge.
Or jam.
Yeah, but this was a carrot cake.
It was carrot.
Because it had a carrot on top. Because that's what she likes, carrots.
Oh, of course, yeah. Because
rabbit.
Because bunny rabbit.
Yeah. I'm sure if it were the other way around, she would be bringing him a fish cake.
Yeah.
Which is less birthday fun. And more just, like,
kind of gross.
What fish cakes are nice?
Not for dessert.
No, not for dessert.
Yeah, something you would put a candle in and give to someone. Unless that person is really into fish cakes.
Unless that person is a turtle.
Or that.
Yeah.
Or that.
Oh, speaking of turtles, one of the many obstacles in the bunny's way. Because he's late, and he's having a hell of a time getting there, for whatever reason. But it's not helped, because, he runs into some trouble. He gets chased by a dog, so I guess there are dogs in this.
Yeah.
But they're not people dogs, they're just regular dogs.
Mm.
It's like the Goofy and
Goofy,
Pluto thing.
Like, how come Goofy is accepted as a member of society who walks and talks, but Pluto... is a pet who doesn't walk or talk, doesn't seem to have many rights.
I mean,
gets some strange territory.
As far as I'm concerned,
right?
The Pluto situation, as we're calling it, right? That's either like a really intense like kink lifestyle choice, or both. He is punishing. He is being punished for some kind of crimes against Disneytopia,
and being forced to live with Mickey Mouse as his like indentured pet.
It's like the remade from China Miéville's Bass Lag novels.
I don't think it's anything like that at all.
You haven't read them. You don't know.
I haven't, but I can only imagine.
Yeah, Pluto's got wheels attached to him for crimes against the state.
Anyway.
But yeah, he gets chased by a dog and a rhino and a frilled lizard, which was my favourite one. And then in the next shot, he's also getting chased by a tortoise, which I guess they all just really want that carrot cake.
Yeah.
So it must be an incredibly good cake.
Thing is, right?
Yeah.
Turtles and tortoises are actually, they can move when they want to. They're just depicted often as being really heavy and slow because they carry a shell most of the time. But if they want to run, they can do it. It's true.
I know.
It's true.
The way you said that, like, oh yeah, these tortoises, they've been having us on the whole time.
No, it's just the perception that a lot of people have.
Okay.
I'm trying to dispel a myth.
Okay, no, that's
fine. I'm not trying to say you're that they've been fucking lying to us.
Reality check.
Reality check. They're not really actually that slow. Anyway.
At one point, while Cat Girl is waiting for the bunny.
Bunny Girl. There's a bunny why girl do I keep, and a cat boy.
Why do I keep getting it mixed up? I'm sorry.
Too much time online.
Too much time online, yeah. Bunny Girl is waiting for Cat Boy. It's Cat Boy. What is wrong with my brain this evening?
It's fine.
If you're a bunny girl or a cat boy, please write in.
I'm sure there's at least one.
I mean, given that this cartoon is from, like, 2007, there were definitely a lot of cat boys in the mix.
Yeah.
It was that kind of time.
It was that kind of time.
Yep. Bunny Girl.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
I'll get it one day. Bunny Girl is approached by a guest who has made her a multi-tiered cake. Like a very large cake.
Yeah.
And she just takes, like, a massive bite out of it.
Yeah, she, like, eats the whole thing, including the candle.
Including the candle in one. And, like, if that isn't a birthday mood, I don't know. Because, like... It's also, like, a kind of a way to say, like, oh, yeah, fuck you.
Yeah.
Because, like, the person who's presenting the cake, like he's doing it with you know, with, like, love and care. And, like, it's almost like he's a suitor or something.
Maybe.
I don't know. I got that vibe. Maybe. Like, he's trying to impress her.
Yeah.
And possible. She's just like, oh, thanks. Hom.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And before, just before he arrives at the party, Catboy gets accosted by some really fluffy looking rabbit street toughs.
Yeah.
Who are adorable.
They are.
They are. I mean, they're racist, but they are but they're also adorable.
I think that's what a lot of this and the previous part is kind of dealing with a little bit.
Yeah. Like, even though attitudes have changed, like you said, like, there are still
people. There's still bigotry.
There's still bigotry. There's still reactionary attitudes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that includes roving street gangs who, in a, like, a really pleasantly dynamic scene, chase the cat boy across the, you know, across the rooftops and around, and
it's really cool.
Yeah, and then they eventually crash the party, and turns out that all is healed with the power of love, because the street toughs are allowed to stay, and it doesn't matter that the carrot cake fell on the floor; it's still delicious.
My favorite part of that part with the street toughs,
yeah,
is the bit where they all, like, turn and spit, except one of them's got, like, a...
Oh, he's got a face off!
And, like, it would have been funny enough if he just turned at the same time as the other ones, and that had just been it. That's funny enough, but then the fact that, like, actual drool comes out of his
it's
mask...
It's really gross. Like... have you ever actually worn one of those street masks? Street mask? One of those face masks?
No, I haven't, no.
Because I remember doing, like, back at school in, like, DT lessons or something, like carpentry and whatever.
You'd have
like a face mask or something.
If you were
doing like some whatever, just to protect you
using
from fumes or something.
Or
if you're soldering, and I'm sneezing in one of those. It's one of the worst experiences.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, so I can relate to that particular rabbit street tough. the one thing I've got written down at the end of this is, interspecies romance, not just because, the happy couple are reunited with cake and everyone's happy, but, like, in the wake of that, like, other guests at the party start to, like, kind of cozy up to each other.
Yeah.
And, like, there's a little bit of like, oh, okay, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not just that their love sets an example to others, it's that, like, the others are, like, already, like, champing at the bit to, like, I really want to flirt with that rabbit over there, but I can't because of social mores. You know?
Yeah, uh-huh.
It's interesting.
There's definite, and I think purposeful world building in this, and that's part of what makes it so good.
Yeah, I mean, and again, it shows in a sociological sense that representation really does matter.
Well, yeah.
Because like if you're seeing people in not just in your personal life but on screen fulfilling their own lives and their own loves in ways that may be taboo, that can give you the courage to be more true to yourself.
I mean, you're preaching to the choir.
Well, yes, I understand. I understand that you could definitely read it as some kind of allegory for the gender cascade.
Been there, done that, bought the t-shirt.
You do actually have the t-shirt.
I actually do.
It suits you, though.
Yeah, thank you.
so that's There She Is, step two. Yeah. It's lovely.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic.
It really is. I'd say we don't really have any kind of flash this time, because we've already, dive into the Sam really Baxter experience.
I checked on the page for Sam Baxter just briefly, and there's been a update that we've actually posted this year.
Oh.
It was just, they just said something like, pigs are really lucky in Korea, and this is the year of the pig.
Yeah.
So hope for a lucky new year for everyone. Something like that.
And that's really sweet.
It's kind of just nice, yeah. Also, the bunny street toughs were actually in the picture that they posted along with the update.
Aww.
So, what a coincidence.
That's really nice. Yeah. Happy Chinese New Year, Sam Baxter, and to anyone else who celebrates.
Yeah.
Hooray. Yeah.
Hooray.
Yeah. What a nice and posy episode we've got so far. Let's see if that continues as we...
Ooh.
As we swerve headlong into the comments.
Mm.
You want to start us off?
Okay. So, Nigel Butterfly in March.
I'm sorry, what?
Night Butterfly.
Nigel Butterfly.
I keep thinking about Nigel Thornberry, and I don't know why. It's, anyway, night.
That pollen looks delicious.
Night Butterfly, on the day this came out in 2005, said, "That was great again."
It was
that
great.
Was all
again.
That was all they had to say.
That's all they could manage.
That's all they had
before
to
just, like, erupting with excitement.
Yeah.
Okay. Joe3678, mm-hmm. part of the Joe Legion.
Yeah.
Gotta
watch out for them. They're fucking everywhere.
Yeah. Mm. There's a fucking Joe Jamboree out there.
Why do you think they said Joe's here and half an hour?
Anyway, in September of 2005, said, "That was better than step one. It's cool, and the music, the whole story was." Oh, no!
Yes, it was.
Sorry, I didn't read these before.
Good.
Before,
yes, that's the best way to go into this. The whole story was.
It's cool, and the music, the whole story was. Yeah.
I agree.
I can't... it's hard to disagree with that, because...
What's the sentiment?
Thank you, Joe, for making your thoughts clear.
Yes, thank you.
Next we have...
Cookiehead, in May 2005, said, "Please. This, I have to admit, it's pretty good, considering I don't like Japanese animation. But come on, people. This shouldn't be numero uno. Seriously. I can think lots of things that are better than this. I'm not saying it sucked. It was good, but not that good. Come on, even you have to admit it ain't the best. I'm just saying..."
Well, first of all, Cookiehead, thank you for giving yourself that name, because that's what I would call you. Reading.
What are these other things that are better than this? You haven't listed any.
Well,
there's no evidence to the contrary. I'm sorry.
I'm guessing that Cookiehead is complaining about this being like the top of the heap in terms of Newgrounds' popularity at the time, because this was daily. Everything.
Daily everything.
And this was just beloved.
It was 3 million views.
Yeah, which is absurd.
That's nuts, yeah.
But also, Cookiehead, this isn't Japanese animation.
It's Korean.
It's Korean. I understand that if you're not that well-versed, then reading Korean can look similar to Japanese or can look similar to Chinese.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Yeah.
But even so...
Yeah.
Do your research, Cookiehead.
You should read the next one.
I should read the next one. This is by Bob. August the 1st, 2007. So 2 years after this came out. 2 years. Bob came to say, that's it. That's all they said.
It was somehow rated 0 stars. I don't know how they did that. How did they do that?
Zero out... No, yeah, you can rate something zero.
Oh, you can. Okay, I didn't know. I thought one was the lowest. You could give something.
No, no. You could, but it's the... It says SSD SSS. Is it a code?
If there are any budding code crackers listening to Flash in the Pan, give it a go. Tell us what you think.
Yeah, all lowercase.
Foxman 5252 in June 30th, 2005 said, not bad, better than first, but nothing. Amzig, I give it a 5. 2.5 out of 5.
Okay. Thanks, Foxman 5252. Yeah.
It's classic. I give it a 5. 2.5 out of 5.
That was lovely.
That was good.
And now we're going to go for something a lot more structurally ambitious.
Oh, okay.
Because if you remember, as we mentioned at the top of the show, way back when, we looked at a little something called The Decline of Video Gaming.
Mm.
We looked at this back in episode 3, and you can find our review of the first episode there. But it is time to dip our toes back into that boiling lava swamp of the console.
That's a thing in video games.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
It's time to dip our toes back into the purple water of World 6.
Oh, okay. Ooh. Okay, nice. Yeah, good.
And watch The Decline of Video Gaming 2. But wait, hold on. We're not watching the cartoon just yet, because in a first for this podcast, but I imagine the first of many.
Yeah.
There are a couple of games that we got to play.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about how we came across
them? Yeah, so they're just, I suppose back when this was uploaded, they would have been, like, things that you could do while the cartoon was loading.
Yes, preloaders.
Preloaders. So there are two mini games.
They're based on jokes in the first episode.
Based on the jokes in the first episode. One of the jokes was, I think, one that was our favourite. One of our favourite jokes. Mario does the weekly shopping.
Mario does the weekly shopping, which is... I mean, which... It's an endless runner game.
Yeah.
Which was a very popular format of Flash games.
Yeah.
And in this one, you are either Mario and Luigi or Diddy and Donkey Kong. And you are in, and you're in a shopping trolley and you're just dashing through the mushroom aisle, or the banana aisle, as Diddy and Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
And you have to collect enough mushrooms or bananas while dodging the bob-ombs. And making sure that you have enough to keep up with the pace that either Dixie Kong or Baby Mario is just devouring the things that you're putting in your trolley.
Was that Dixie Kong? I think it was Tiny Kong, actually.
I am so sorry.
I think
sorry.
You're fine.
Oh, what have I done?
What would you do if I wasn't here?
I would continue to mistake Kongs for each other.
Exactly.
Nothing else would change.
It's I'm glad to know I'm making a real contribution on this podcast.
But it's fun. It's hard because you're playing with just the up and down buttons on the keyboard, and it's a little delayed.
Yeah.
But you know what? Like, it's fun.
Yeah, it is fun. Yeah?
And
yeah.
Like the aisle, like the rate at which the different items come is randomized. So there's a lot of incentive to like keep trying to push forward. Keep trying to push for a new high score.
Yeah.
And there's even save functionality in it, which is cool.
That is very cool, yeah. I could see myself, like, back then, have playing this a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's just really good.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. And what's the other minigame, Alex? You want to tell us about the other minigame?
The other minigame is Ultimate Ironing.
Extreme ironing,
excuse me. It's literally just... ironing.
It's just ironing clothes.
As fast as possible.
Yeah.
It starts off with, you know, a pair of pants, some socks, shirts, And then eventually you get to Iron Link's Tunic and Mario's dungarees.
Mario's dungarees, yeah. One-up t-shirts. One-up t-shirt. And that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's just really fun. Yeah. Like, you get to choose which iron you're using. the flattenator.
Iron board you've got is a tribal one.
Yep. A fucking tribal one. Cause yes, this is from 2004.
Remember the tribal SP? Remember Mario's tribal tattoo?
I remember.
Which he has canonically had laser removed. And we know this because of Super Mario Odyssey.
Yes.
Yeah. What's fucking time?
So you can have a tribal ironing board. You can have a Zelda one, or you can have a nightmare one, which is the game that the Flash Bros did about the bunny.
Yeah.
And it's basically you just move your mouse over the item of clothing, but you have to do it slowly because if you iron something too fast, it doesn't really get
it. It doesn't work.
So there's some good ludonarrative consistency.
Sure.
But yeah, it's just a fun little bonus thing for people who enjoyed the jokes from the first one and thought, haha, I would totally play that.
And now we did.
So that is the little mini games. On with the cartoon.
You from Capcom, the Resident Evil soundtrack, featuring such favorites as Zombie Number One. I do anything for Flash, but I won't do that. And from Zombie Number 15, Can I Eat Your Brains Tonight?
And we're back. That
Goodness
was
gracious me. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tell us your thoughts, Alex.
Well, so they've definitely found their groove a little bit more in this.
Yeah, I think so.
There are a lot of jokes that are actually very funny.
Yes.
They actually land. They seem to have taken some time and like maybe workshop the jokes a little bit.
Yeah.
The animation's better.
Yeah, I'd say the animation's better.
There are a bunch of cameos, like little things in the background. Randy Solem is one of the cameos, along with Tom Fall.
No, that was Tom from Flash Bros.
Right. Yeah. Okay. But Egoraptor.
Egoraptor features as a lot of voices, including two staggeringly terrible Japanese accents.
Really bad, like, just very...
We gotta get that out of the way at first. Goodness gracious.
God, they're so bad.
They are.
They're really
aggressively bad.
You shouldn't do...
I mean, like, if you're a teenager in 2004, it is... you have a lot... You are a lot more likely to think that is cool and funny.
Yeah.
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 Same reason that there's just an F slur just
just gets thrown in
there.
There's
like the punchline to a joke.
That's directly followed up with
the terrible Japanese accent. Yeah.
The bad Japanese voice. Yeah.
Yes. So, like, we got to acknowledge that stuff.
Yeah.
That's not great.
That's not.
I'm sure if they made it again today, they would do it differently.
They wouldn't do that, probably. Yeah.
That said,
it's very good.
Yeah, like that stuff aside, it's there's so much going on. It is like they've really honed it into like it's like a good sketch show basically.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the same way the first one was like was very much sketch showy. This has a lot more consistent formula. The pacing's a lot better, I think.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
The framing device, like the actual storyline is stupid.
It's very stupid. It works.
Yeah. Yes. The heads of Sony, no, of Square Enix, Capcom, and
Konami
join forces as evil supervillains who make terrible games, and they're here to stop the funny truth teller journalists. It is so mid-2000s gaming culture.
Yeah, but a lot of it lands.
Yeah, like a lot of it does.
The joke about like getting killed by a ladybug in an online game is still very relatable.
Oh god, okay. So the Final Fantasy XI stuff. Like, I played that game for about I played Final Fantasy XI for about a year and a half, yeah. right? Like, I got it on launch day. I was knee deep in that, right?
That's a relatively short amount of time, considering some people got it on launch and are playing it now.
Okay, that's true. Yeah. Like, I played it for a year and a half because, we went on holiday as a family. I was like 15. We went on holiday. When they came back from holiday, the economy on my server had crashed.
Oh.
And so nothing I had was worth anything anymore.
No.
And all of the long-term plans I'd been setting up, it's like, okay, yeah. So I'm gonna craft this stuff. I'm gonna save it until because the whole auction house just imploded. Yeah. But I still have a lot of good memories from that game. But, like, just that thing in MMOs of, like, hey, look, it's a cute thing. Oh, no, it has eaten me.
I'm dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, that was especially true in Final Fantasy XI because, as in Final Fantasy XII, there were just monsters that would roam the land.
Yeah.
And you could just bump into it and it would immediately kill you because that was there for the high-level players.
Yeah.
Like, you weren't a high-level player yet.
Yeah.
I remember being chased across an entire region more than once by like an evil sheep. Actually, it was a giant ram called Lumbering Lambert, and it would chase you all across the way.
I was chased as well in that game by an earth elemental, and it just wouldn't fucking leave me alone. And I thought at one point, it's like, wait, I've got rid of it. And then it just, like, slowly came round the corner. I was like, oh, no, it's still there. And then they show up again in 14, and they're, like, really weak in comparison.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But, so, we could just go on listing favorite sketches.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we could. Like,
we could.
I like the joke of world's funniest tornadoes being a TV show.
That's good. Like a video game that constantly tries to sell you things and a loading screen. Yeah.
Yeah, there are a couple of things which are eerily prescient.
Yeah.
As with the first one.
selling you, Resident Evil branded painkillers called Baricetamol.
Baricetamol is fucking superb. That was wonderful. I really enjoyed, but yeah, like in-game advertising, like that was only starting to become a thing in 2004. But the thing that gets me especially, right, in terms of the prescience is, it's part of the Final Fantasy XI sketch. The guy can't afford a Phoenix Down to help his friend in the game, so he takes out a loan in-game. And then 2 months later, the head of Square Enix shows up at his house to steal his computer because he didn't read the fine print. And that is exactly the business model that a lot of modern game companies and media companies in general are either have or are aspiring to in terms of not allowing you to own content yourself. It's all about leasing the product from the company.
Yeah.
It's all about you not actually owning your thing. You're just streaming it. You're just temporarily holding on to it, and they can take it away from you at any time.
Well, yeah, I mean, that doesn't just apply to games anymore. It applies
to... like I said, all media.
Streaming,
it applies to
stream
fucking...
service, Spotify, Apple, Google Play, Amazon Music, all of it.
I mean, what I'm saying is Super Flash Brothers, welcome to the resistance.
Yeah.
But, like, it is weird looking back at this 15-year-old cartoon and thinking, oh, I see.
They saw it coming. They were trying to warn
us. It's like rewatching the day-to-day or Brass Eye and thinking, oh, that's just what news looks like now. Back then, it was a hyperbolic hellscape. And now that's just what life is.
So you've lost the news.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Other small things I enjoyed before we get into stuff that didn't necessarily land as
well.
Because there are a few of those.
Yeah.
Other things I enjoyed the, just like the quite sedate Metal Gear Solid sketch where Snake dresses up as a tree and then puts on a full badger costume and very slowly sneaks up on the guy.
That's basically how the game went.
And then just pounces him as it cuts to black. I enjoyed that.
It's not far off how the game went.
No, it's not.
You can get a crocodile head and you can lie down and stick your head out around corners And if guards see you like that, they will run away because they think you're actually a crocodile.
Yes.
You know, like,
Metal Gear Solid
was that silly.
Beyond parody.
Yes.
Also, I liked that... So the evil game company heads seem to have powers, but they don't. Like, the Square Enix guy is some kind of black mage.
Yeah.
At one point he tries using a spell on them and it doesn't work.
Well, it doesn't work because he has to wait too long for the action bar to fill up, and then he can use the spell.
Yes.
It's just a funny little haha, gamers.
But the spells that he scrolls past, so you got your Blizzard, Blizzara, and so on. He also has Salt, Salter, Sultana.
I didn't see that.
I don't think I ever caught back in the day, but this time I was like, ooh, okay, that's cute.
Yeah, that's good.
And of course, I like the running joke that the game organization that sends them the invite to go to E3, the acronym, did you guess what it spelled eventually?
I actually didn't.
It spells gonads. Okay. It spells gonads.
Good.
And I like that they don't reveal it.
Yeah. This is definitely made by British people.
Oh, it is very, it's very English, yes.
I mean, they actually acknowledge that at the end.
They do, by putting on outrageously OTT accents. And drinking Ribena from a wine glass, which is such a mood.
I'm not rich enough to afford wine, but I'll pour things into wine glasses and pretend I'm rich.
Yes. Oh, and one more small thing, before I stop rambling, I really like that when they're on the plane and JT is restless, they give him, quote, some airline standard crayons. they don't even give him anything to color in. He's just excited
just
to have crayons.
He's got a green one.
Yeah. So yeah, what were there any bits that you particularly resonated with or rejected?
Like Spider-Man not being able to get out the bathtub.
Oh, that's a classic. Like that's a dad joke.
That's
right,
that's
there.
Great. Him also being afraid of newspapers, which is very good. There's just so much. It's actually difficult to pick out a specific bit and go like that was really, because a lot of it's good.
I think more of this works than did in the first one.
Yeah,
they've really worked on their approach. They've really worked on their style. One sketch that just didn't do anything for me.
Yeah,
and I think you know what I'm about to say. Is the South Park Canada Final Fantasy X.
It was relevant back then.
2004, big year for South Park and stuff.
And Final Fantasy X.
And Final Fantasy X.
Not long come out.
The concept of a Canadian translation of a game, that amuses me.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's pretty. That's
But then it was just a...
But then it's just...
It's just a Terrence and Phillip
bit. It's just straight up a Terrence and Phillip bit.
But with Aron and
Tidus.
Tidus. Let's call the whole thing off.
How are you supposed to...
Everybody says Tidus.
Yeah.
In the game, it is Tidus.
So it's supposed to be Tidus then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that bit just... It falls flat now. I'm sure back then it was very funny.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree. The nitpicky fan in the audience... asking Shigeru Miyamoto, one of the terrible accents we mentioned before, asking him whether Mario is good at rooting through the bins when he's dressed as a raccoon.
I thought that was funny.
Yeah?
I thought that was pretty funny.
Really?
I was like, yeah, it's funny, yeah, because that is what raccoons do, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very easy to please.
There are a few things more pleasing than just like photos of just unreasonably fat raccoons.
Yeah.
Especially videos of unreasonably fat raccoons, because they are adorable.
It was great. And the idea of Mario just going rooting in a bin dressed as a raccoon is, admittedly, you have to admit, picture it, it's very funny.
It's pretty good,
yeah. It's pretty good.
Oh, yeah, what? There was one throwaway joke that I thought was just kind of mean.
Uh-huh.
Which is, what they say, because this is before Metal Gear Solid 3 properly came out.
Right.
I believe. Because in the trailer for Metal Gear Solid 3, before the Badger, after the Badger stuff, yeah. It says, coming soon, once Hideo Kojima finishes with his crappy, light-sensitive game.
Oh,
which
yeah.
is a reference to the actually fucking stellar.
Actually, fuck off. Boktai, the sun is in your hand, is fucking amazing.
It's so good.
Fuck off.
Yeah, yeah. And that's just mean.
I really hope they don't listen to this like they did the last one. Well, once again, I'm slagging them off.
Okay, no, look, like there is a lot to love in here. We're just pointing out the things which may just go, ooh, uh-huh. As well as the things that may just go,
Yeah, you know, it's definitely, it's like immediately you can tell it's improved because like they're playing Melee. And then like, oh, this can't be healthy. We should go outside. And then just, it's them playing Melee outside. Yeah. That's funny.
That's cute. That's yeah, good. That's just a good solid gag.
Yeah.
That immediately smashed the credits.
Yeah.
With the Kung Pao Into the Fist theme, which shows you just how early 2000s this is, because fucking hell, Kung Pao Into the Fist. Oof, that movie
I mean, I still quote bits of that movie.
Oh, that movie is fucking great.
Yeah.
This is Wimp Lo. We trained him wrong as a joke. It's a great, and I know we use this phrase all the time. Come on, 1, 2, 3. It's a really good time capsule. But it is.
It is.
This is.
It's specifically a 2004 time capsule.
Yeah, like, this is what it was like to be online and to read gaming magazines and just to be part of that whole discourse. That whole world.
Yeah.
At the time.
Yeah.
And they really nail it. You know, in the same way that the Fast Show is like a really good vision of early 90s Britain.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
This is the Fast Show of like
2004
video game culture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, early thousands video game culture.
Just without all the catchphrases.
John didn't really need it.
No.
No.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think that's an accurate assessment.
Yeah. Ah. Yeah. Gosh, are there any more things?
I think we've actually covered everything.
I think we might have covered just about everything we need to talk about. Yeah. It's really fun. Oh yeah, the fucking. And again, another thing that dates it: Maroon 5 in the credits.
Oh yeah, but like one of the songs from like the first album, right?
Back when Maroon 5 had a tiny shred of credibility.
Adam Levine was it like this. This monstrous, like, music mogul, like, who was in everything and everywhere and you couldn't fucking escape him.
Yeah, before he became a full talentless automaton.
Yeah.
Adam Levine, if you're listening, please write into the show at fashionthepancast@gmail.com.
Actually, don't, you're right. You can leave that, that's fine.
Okay. Fine. So, as with the previous cartoon, we covered the Flash Brothers in detail.
We have covered them
way back in episode number 3.
Yeah, we covered them for the first Decline of Video Gaming.
And for their segment of The
Matrix
Has You.
Yeah.
So we're going to skip the Flash R. Sorry, we don't have any Flash R this week. I'm sorry about that. But maybe next week.
But. Yeah. There are comments.
There are definitely comments. I'm going to start us off, if that's okay.
Yeah.
With a BXNY kid with two D's.
Yes.
September 8, 2004, which is when this came out.
Uh-huh.
That was whack, spelled WAK.
Yeah.
The only thing that made me laugh was the Raccoon Mario thing that the guy in the audience was making fun of. Oh. And at the end, when you guys were making fun of yourselves. It said you were English. Aren't people from England called British? Or Brits? Three question marks. Because I thought it was called Great Britain? Correct me if I'm wrong. Because it bothers me. Thanks. Later. Where do we even fucking start with this?
Okay, so... For anyone that hasn't caught on yet, people from England are English.
Uh-huh. And British.
And British. But everyone in Britain is British.
Yes.
English people are also British.
Yes.
But those are the only people that are English. People from England.
People from England are the English ones, yes.
Because people from Wales or Welsh, yeah. People from Ireland, Irish. It's very simple, actually.
Yeah.
Really, when you get down to
and
it.
And people from Scotland are Scottish. Scottish, yes.
Yes.
And if you're from England, Wales, Scotland, or Northern Ireland, you are British.
Yeah.
Just dating this podcast to February 2019.
And if you're Scottish, Welsh, or Irish, then you hate the English.
Yes, that's Northern Irish or regular straight Irish.
You hate the English.
I mean, fair enough.
It's fair enough.
Yeah.
This country's not done a lot of good for the rest of the UK.
Well, there is that.
There is that. So there's a little, little lesson on how that works. Yeah, so, it's not that hard.
Yeah, BXNY kid, if you're listening, now you know.
Now you know.
Hopefully you found out between September 2004 and now.
And now. Yeah.
But if you didn't, then you're welcome.
Yeah. EA Gallo Glass.
Ooh.
That's interesting.
That's like, sounds like a professor from a fantasy novel.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Professor Gallo Glass.
Gallo Glass.
Yes.
September. Go on. No, go on.
No, it's fine.
I don't want to, because that could have been really good.
Okay, fine. Professor Gallo Glass, the contraption is almost complete. Soon all the spirit energy in Eternia will be ours to harness for the good of the king.
Yep, okay. I'm glad we got that in.
Okay.
September 30th, 2004. Not my cup of tea, spelled incorrectly, two E's. Good job, well done, but I didn't really like it.
Oh. No, okay. Yeah. It's just a cup of golf teas. That's how they spelled
it. That's like, see, it's someone like do a cool skateboard trip, be like, great, but you could have done better.
Oh. I don't know. I'm willing to give EA Gallo Glass the benefit of the doubt because they are clearly willing to give the Flash Bros the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Because they're saying, you know what? You did a good job on this. You clearly put some work in. It's not my thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
There were a lot of comments like that. Like, it wasn't my thing, but good job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is nice. It's nice. That, that's more reasonable than you expect from Newgrounds comments as we've come to experience them.
I didn't get any of them, but they actually replied to quite a lot, like a few negative comments. One of them, it was really weird one where someone was like, I don't get it. Now Newgrounds is full of people that should just be making animations for TV. And the Super Flash Brothers were like, so you're saying that we should be on TV? That sounds like a compliment to me.
I don't know, maybe it's calling them sellouts.
Oh, maybe.
Maybe it's saying that they've made their style too commercial.
Maybe.
Too mainstream.
I would argue not, but yeah. Next
we've got, this is from 2008, so this is 4 years after this came out. Brainless24 said, one question, do you hate Square Enix? I do, they actually have good games, but 5 out of 10 anyway.
Okay.
Sure. Brainless24 seems confused.
I think. Yeah, it is I'm not sure they know where they're going with that one. I think they lost their way.
Yes.
Endoki, July 26th, 2005. Heh, so, the graphics are okay. The sound sounded like it came from a $5 microphone, like mine, for example. But the music was pretty good. And I gave humor a 7 just for the Spider-Man in the bath thing. I'm still laughing about that. I like where they were like, it's a $5 microphone. Like mine.
Yeah.
Just like mine.
I mean, ours isn't that much better. But yeah, no, we did mention it, but yeah, this is definitely an example of bad recording technology hampering some of the experience a little.
You could hear in at least two of the voice actors recording the fucking fan on their computer spinning.
Yes, you could. Like, yes, you could. It's
unmistakable sound.
Yeah. Which is...
Well, that's just how it was back then.
Yeah. You know, microphones, especially computer microphones, you know, they weren't nearly as accessible.
No, they weren't like the one that we've got.
No, which is pretty good.
Everyone had the fucking shitty, like, headset.
The
microphone.
Plastic headset, yeah.
Yeah, those were the days.
We got a couple of nice emails.
Okay.
One of them is just a quick message of support and also recommendation by Riley. Hi, Riley. Riley wrote in and said, Riley recommends a Flash animation called Brutality, which is described as someone wanted Dragon Ball Z, but more blood. Also, instead of the classic Dragon Ball style sound effects, it's just a corn song.
Right.
So that one is right. Absolutely that goes on
straight,
our list.
That goes straight on the
because,
list.
Because, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yep.
Also, we got an email from Sev. Sev.
Hi, Sev.
Sev says, hi, Alex. Hi, Tom. There's this old-ass series of Bionicle-themed Flash animations I recently found again that I remember being super popular with the fandom. They're all gay? No, they're not.
They could be.
They could be. All the Bionicles are gay.
Canon.
it's canon.
That's canon now.
Yeah, Bahatu and Leahy are just...
You remember the fucking names? I fucking don't.
What? Oh, yeah. Yeah, excuse me. Bionicle was the absolute shit.
It was, but I don't remember the names.
There's... There are films. There are
I know CG. I know there are films.
They're not great. But they are enjoyable if you like Lego robots with a strange semi-Maori mythology going on.
That was weird, wasn't it?
Yeah.
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 Anyway.
Anyway, they're all made by one guy, Spirit. Sprites animated in Flash, presented as PSAs with a ton of fandom in-jokes.
Oh.
And some of them have song parodies with Bionicle lyrics. Oh my goodness. Sev continues. I remember those lyrics better than the actual world, than the actual words to Part of Your World and I Want It That Away.
Oh my god.
They were originally posted on BZ Power, the biggest forum for the fandom. So sadly, I don't think there's any Newgrounds comments for them. And as far as I know, the original threads aren't around either. But Sev promises that if they manage to dig them up, they'll send them in as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sev has included the link, which we are bookmarking the fuck out of.
Yeah. Because, oh my god. We absolutely have to.
Yeah. So that's really exciting. Thank
that
you,
is
Sev.
Very exciting.
Gosh. I know, right?
Oh my god.
Thank you for the emails, and thank you for continuing to send in your love and your support. And I'm gonna reiterate the cool fan email prompt thing that we already mentioned.
Because,
definitely, as we mentioned last time, send us in any good suggestions or even terrible suggestions you have for Star Wars shit. Because we are planning a Star Wars special in the next month or so that is going to knock several socks off. And it's going to be a great time. So email in with that to flashinthepancast@gmail.com. And also, email us in with just, we've been doing this for a flipping year.
It's unbelievable. If you can't believe it.
Like, you're welcome to just email in and say nice things to us. But, if you have any comments, tell us about stuff you've enjoyed, stuff you haven't enjoyed. Your favorite things that we've talked about.
Yeah.
And most importantly, for my enjoyment, please write in and give us any delicious trivia. even really... unreasonably hard questions about the last year of podcasting, because that sounds like a really fun time.
There is no way I remember some of the shit I said.
That's why you'll never be a politician.
Yeah.
Or you'll be the best politician of them all.
Yeah, that was going to be my follow-up.
I'm sorry, but the Right Honourable Member for Croydon could not bring up the speech I gave last Tuesday because I have slept since then. Any emails, etc., please send into flashinthepancast@gmail.com. And finally, Alex, tell us about you and tell us about the internet, where you live.
I used to live much more on the internet than I do now. I spend more time in the real world, which is much healthier. Yeah, so I'm on Twitter at DEX01. I have a Bandcamp, alexvalentine.bandcamp.com. I'm on Spotify now.
Yeah,
my album that I've gotten the name of my album wrong on it's on there on Spotify. Completely wrong, but all the song names are right at least.
Okay.
That's on there. If you just go on Spotify and search for Alexander Valentine, you'll find the album.
Sweet.
And I'm on YouTube, youtube.com/VNDLP. We're continuing the Punisher LP.
Finally, it's back.
I said I was going to do it. And I did.
So, yeah, so if you want to see videos about Frank Castle visiting a bar and the zoo, if you want to see the Punisher at the zoo, then yeah, you should check out the channel.
The next place that he goes to is very special.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be great. It's literally the next level is the reason why I picked up the game top here.
That's really exciting.
Yeah.
Super, super duper. So I am on Twitter as well at Gertrude Perkins. That's Gertrude Perkns. You can find the show's Twitter at FlashITPancast. That's FlashItPancast. And, of course, you can visit the website, as we mentioned at the top of the show, to find all of the cartoons we talked about, YouTube mirrors, etc., etc., which is FlashInThePancast.com. Please, give us a 5-star rating, review us, write paragraphs about how much you adore us and want to construct a statue in our honour.
Or just write a short sentence. Just post like a thumbs up emoji. Anything.
Yeah, just please, please, we need the analytics.
We need the analytics.
We're desperate. We're begging you, please, just 1 5-star review.
We need to put the rest of those.
Feed our families.
We need to put the rest of those animation podcasts in their place.
But yeah, so you can do, just say nice things, you know, 5-star review, iTunes, Stitcher, etc., etc. Anyway, this has been Flash in the Pan.
Yeah.
And I've been Tom.
I've been Alex.
And until next time, my groin!
Blam this piece of crap. Flash in the Pan!